Hi, you are listening to the Conflict and Development in Africa podcast. This podcast is for policymakers, governments, researchers, students, businesses, and anyone that is interested in conflict and development issues in Africa. On this podcast, we hear from experts from across Africa and the world. Your host, Dr. Michael Wangpa, will ask the questions you would want answers to. Michael Wangpa has an extensive experience spanning over a decade studying, researching, writing, and consulting on conflict and development issues in Africa.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Conflict and Development in Africa podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Wangpa. Today we're going to be discussing the recent speculated coup attempt in Nigeria. Our guest today is retired Navy General Commodore Kunle Olawumi, an academic professor, currently the head of the department of International Relations and Diplomacy at Chrisland University, Nigeria. Commodore, it's a pleasure to see you again, and I'm grateful for you to join me, and I look forward to our conversation.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Brilliant. So let's jump right into it. So recently there's been speculations. I don't know if this is still at the level of speculations of this, or this has been confirmed, that there was a coup attempt in Nigeria. How credible is this?
Thank you very much for that question. You know, as a professional, I cannot operate in the realm of speculation, because this is a nation, a democracy, with a commander-in-chief in charge. If there's a coup, I will expect to hear, first of all, from the defense headquarters. And I expected the president, commander-in-chief, to have addressed the nation within the 48 hours of that coup rumor. As we speak, I've not heard from the defense headquarters that there's a coup. And I've not heard from President Bola Ahmed Tinubu that there are disgruntled elements or officers from the Nigerian military that plan to overthrow his regime. And then that's very fundamental. If you don't hear from the horse's mouth, you cannot operate in the realm of speculations and social media to talk about a coup. It's not a joke. It's a military coup. And it's not something that we should speculate about. Whatever has been coming out in social media, I read them as well. Names have been mentioned, amount of money found in accounts, all hard evidence that looks that, yeah, there was really a coup. But we still need to wait for the constituted authority in Nigeria to tell us that there's a coup. I don't want to operate as a rumor monger. I have friends and colleagues that should have told me clearly if there are actually a military coup. There are different types of coup. There are phantom coups. There are different kind of coups. And let us be very clear that the commander-in-chief of the armed forces must come out if there's actually a coup to assuage and to prevent all this kind of rumor and rumor mongering. It's not healthy for the states of Nigeria to thrive on rumor. It should come out and clear it from me. You can't hear from me that is a coup, because there is no coup from the commander-in-chief. He has not told us that. Defense headquarters that's supposed to break it, the defense intelligence agency that claim to have arrested people supposed to have gone through the channels, DHQ, MOD, presidency, and we should have a clear So
yeah. I don't think there should be a clear statement, and a lot of people have been calling for that clear statement from the presidency. But let's focus on what we know, the facts, and say, I think the Independence Day parade was cancelled. So that is a non-fact. And also, several high-rank and medium officers were arrested. So what do you think? Or are these normal situations, or do they also point to that, to what we're suspecting? Or would you say this is normal, or this is this standard behavior?
Oh, the cancellation of the parade may have some other political connotations. If there is threat analysis from the DSS or from the DIA, that an event that is untoward, it's about to happen, a security report can make the president to cancel such a issue. You remember, this has happened before, during the Niger Delta, militant issue. They tried to, explode bomb so that they can take out as many political appointees as possible. It's always a very good time to hit back at people that you don't. For me, as a professional, if there's a security report that is strong enough, that is credible, for Mr. President to cancel that, he will. And maybe that's what has happened.
That's very interesting. We've been seeing, I think there's, like they say there's no smoke without a fire. And we've been hearing, I recently heard, was it the former chief of defense staff, I think Boratai, General Boratai, that mentioned, he said something about to deal with the insurgency, maybe Nigeria needs to declare a state of emergency and stuff like that. And, some of the military top brasses have also been speaking like that. So a lot of people have been looking at it like maybe the military is nursing, such ambition to how do you analyze some of this? Maybe advice, maybe they could just be useful advice from some of this top military.
Yeah, if I hear you correctly, you're talking about what General Brutta said, advising the government to declare a state of emergency, right?
Yes.
And what do you think my view is? I've been in the system long time to know that declaring state of emergency is not healthy for democracy. It's not healthy. There are rule of law. you have the judiciary, you have the constitution. It's enough for you to work with. What is going on in Nigeria is a situation whereby you put fire in a building deliberately, then you are calling the firefighters to come and put out the fire. If the Fulanis have decided to make the country ungovernable, then another Fulani officer is saying that they should declare a state of emergency. It's a trap. You're going to trap the Mr. President to be declaring. So look at the one he did in River State. Look at the hue and cry. Then you bring in fighters from everywhere to destabilize the country, to destabilize the polity, to make the president look incompetent. Oh, then you're advising him that, you should declare state of emergency. So you remove all the governors in the north and put military administrator there. It's a trap. I would not advise that. The only thing I would advise Tinubu, if he's listening to this podcast, sincerely from my heart, is to round up all those that are sponsoring this terrorism. Okay? He has the names now. He should round them up. and try them with the population who is supporting. Because you cannot have a people that will bring in anarchy into their citizen. You invited anarchy here. Then you are blaming the president who had just spent 2 years. Somebody was there for 8 years. You imported all form of anarchy into the country. Then you are blaming him. You say it's an emergency. Why did you, in the first instance, bring this evil upon your own state? So for me, you shouldn't listen to those kind of things. If you declare a state of emergency from now to tomorrow, it's not going to remove the ills that I've seen in this society. It's just going to compound it. The same North will make noise that he has removed all the their governors, his draconian rule that is ruling by decree and so on. They're going to mess him up. Tinubu should just be bold, arrest these people, try them, and if they can get help from outside, not boots on the ground, intelligence, and maybe hardware and softwares that can, you know, track the money, track their telephone calls, track all their information, and build up enough evidence to try them in a court of law and send them to jail. And if you find them treasonable, you execute them. You see that this thing will stop because they are becoming very arrogant and very emboldened. They're even like trying to orchestrate a military coup. There was no military coup when Buhari was there, full animal. Now, a Yoruba man is there, there's a coup, rumor of coup. You want to threaten him, you want to harass him because of 2027, you won't vote for him and all this stuff. This is not a country. Because if this is a country, the elites of this country cannot bring anarchy to their own citizens because of politics, because of trade, because of money and power. You bring anarchy to your country and you are very boastful, very arrogant about it. And everybody is afraid to talk to them. I said this in an interview. That's why I don't want to be in politics. I'm not interested in being in politics, because if I am, I could have executed maybe half of them. I could have executed them. That's why you don't allow military men to be in the government. Yes.
I agree with you. You know, in 2013 or 14, it was during Jonathan, and I agree with you on the state of emergency. When Jonathan declared state emergency in the three northern states, Yobe, Borno, and the North saw it as an attack on the North. But when Jonathan didn't do it, they saw it, Jonathan as also leaving the North to decimate the North. And when I interviewed Sheikh Gumi at the time, I had a very clear insight, just exactly what you were talking about. But the question I want to ask is this. During Obasanjo's period, when Obasanjo came into power as well, Obasanjo voluntarily or involuntarily retired military personnel in the North, because the North also perceived, Obasanjo was from the Southwest, and they perceived, that was when they introduced Sharia. Obasanjo called it political Sharia, and they perceived it as that someone from the West was going to continue power everything. So I wanted you to speak on that. Speak on the dynamics of power or power rotation in Nigeria that will make each time power goes away from the North, you always see such maybe heightened insecurity or introduction of Sharia. Are these, like you rightly alluded to, are these genuine or are these things that are geopolitical creations to just shift back power to the North? Because there seems to be a pattern there.
Yeah. Your question, it's not very direct, but I think I understand that during Obasanjo's time, he Sharia, and there's always this kind of orchestrated insecurity to undo or to make the president to feel to look like he's incompetent. Yeah, it's a state practice in Nigeria, and until somebody will put a stop to it, and I think, I don't know whether Tinubu is the right person, but I think he should be able to stop this state practice whereby some people will want to control the resources of this country, and the other is to stimulate, you know, an exercise. This Boko Haram stuff, you know, you just instigate it. Then you be the godfather and you threaten the commander in chief that if you don't do what we want, we will unleash this our Boko Haram on you. We make you ungovernable. If you want to win 2007, you have to do what we want to do, what we want you to do. All those practices have become a state practice in Nigeria. And I don't know why, you know, if it will be in the history of this country that I've been president just for one day. So I don't know why Tinubu is afraid. You know, he's the president and he's the commander in chief. And he has the prerogative to ensure that the welfare of Nigerians are his primary duty. That's his job. So he should stop thinking about 2027. He should think about now and the lives, you know, of people that have been lost. People don't understand what it means to lose life. You can't recover it now. So if you now say, okay, after 2027, I'm not going to protect the people. What about people that have died or that are dying now? For me, I think you should make bold to, I've said it in many forums, and people don't seem to understand that the people that are sponsoring all these insecurity narratives in Nigeria and outside Nigeria, should be rounded up. If you don't know what to do, the Interpol will help, the CIA, Americans, they have the list they can help, and you can build up a case, a credible case, legal, against them. Try them, you know, fairly, let them have representative or representation, and sentence them. You see that it will stop. Look how many people are dying. Look how much we are spending on defense. The money we're supposed to use to build hospitals, roads, infrastructure, we are spending it on defense. It's very deep. Tinubu should arrest these people. Some of them are in his government even now. I'm saying it. They should challenge me. We should round them up.
Well, Prof, we
try them and bring safety and progress to this country. We are better than this. I'm a Nigerian, and I've gone all over the world, and I've seen that I'm better than a lot of people I've come across in terms of education, training, and so on. Is in Israel, is in America, is in France. But when you come home, you can't make it. The system will kill you. I was supposed to be retained in America when I finished my program in Rhode Island, because I beat all the other countries that were there. We are 32 countries, and I beat all of them. And they wanted to keep me in America. I said, no, I'm a passionate Nigerian. Why can't I come back home and also improve? But I was cut short in the military. They didn't allow me to become a two-star because of all this type of thing that has become state practice. And people do it with a lot of arrogance. Why is he afraid? He has the power. He has all the support of the people, the well-meaning Nigerians.
But Prof, in fairness,
he has the support.
In fairness to Tinubu, me doing research in Nigeria, even from when Obasanjo was there, from Jonathan time, we've been hearing that there's a list of sponsors of terrorists. That list, there was even like a sitting senator that they said was on the list. UAE supplied the list down to Buhari and Dan now. So why are those presidents afraid to address this list of sponsors if we know these sponsors? Because this is not a recent stuff.
My dear, if they mention one and their sponsor, I know them, okay? If they mention one and decide to interrogate him, he's going to mention so many names now, including the foreign partners, and including those who that sponsor your politicians to be where they are. It's good. The whole place is going to be messy. So instead of, you know, bringing them to justice, not all those small, small names that the Dubai sent to us, those are like their handlers. Those are small, small people. I'm not talking about those below the change, 400 people. Those are not the people, though. I'm talking about senators. I'm talking about governors. I'm talking about ministers that are still in this government, you know? And everybody's afraid to talk to about them. So he should just clean his house. I'm talking about Tinubu now. He should clean his house. You know, history will be fair to him, okay? He should clean the house. These people are endemic. They have entrenched themselves into the system. I told you, and I'm alive, I told people since 2021 that we arrested people, and they mentioned names of all these people that are still wearing Agbada up and down. Well, what a country. This is not a country. I will be in the United States, and I work for CIA, and I give list to the president that these are the people that are orchestrated, and they will still be working around 4 or 5 years after. This is not a country.
There's something you mentioned, and that has been like a common trend in Africa. Yeah, we saw with Goodluck, because with Goodluck Jonathan, I believe if Goodluck Jonathan had focused on the one term that Obasanjo negotiated for, and just focus and deal decisively without talking about second term and politics, that could have happened. But that's the same thing you've mentioned with Tinubu as well, because people are already talking about 2027 rather than just, okay, why is African leaders, why are they so bent on personal power and personal ambition rather than providing their primary duty with the mandate they already have?
That's why I told people that I don't like politics, you know, and like I don't play politics. And some people may think maybe I'm frustrated. Let me tell you, I'm very comfortable. I'm okay. You know, what do I need in this life? You see, politics is just so dirty that it feeds on greed, you know. So you have a lot of greedy people in corridor power. They don't have business being there. They just want to show they're in power. What is power? What is speed without control? What is speed without control? You are in power, and so what? Tinubu should make bold and sanitize this country. I'm not very sure. Whatever he does, the truth is that one day he will leave that power, and history may not be kind, because he has the opportunity now to clean up this country, and I hope he will listen. Because what the Americans are telling us, what Trump said recently, I don't know whether you're going to ask me that question.
I
feel ashamed. I'm ashamed to be a Nigerian. I was in the system when we went to Liberia. I provide intelligence for the forwarded of battle area team that went into Liberia. We did a great job. I was in the security group. We are in Congo, we are in Zaire, we are in so many countries. Now, look at what you have turned the military to. I feel ashamed. I'm very ashamed. But the politicians you are talking about, those people don't have soul. They don't have shape. No matter how you talk to them, as long as there's money in their pocket and they have some stupid women that are following them, they feel great. They don't have shape. If I'm a Nigerian, not a Nigerian, I'm just a lecturer in the university. I'm ashamed. I don't travel out. Go and check my records. American, anybody should check my record. I don't travel out because I'm ashamed to carry my passport. But the politicians, they don't have shame. They still go around already stealing money and keeping it in all these countries. No shame. They should be ashamed.
Speaking of that, Prof, so I'm going to ask you Trump statements. And I like what Canada did, I think, on two occasions. So there was an occasion where there was supposed to be a sports event, and I think it was the military sports event for people that were disabled or something. The military was going to go with large number, and they didn't give visa to them. And the second was Canada declaring something like terrorist. So my thing is this: you mentioned foreign involvement, and then the paradox, you also say the foreigners also help, and Trump is saying come to help. But these politicians, like you mentioned, they come and put the money here. They come for head visitation here. So why is Trump and all of these people not targeting those politicians, not targeting their money, not refusing them to come, rather than threatening military intervention? So do you think they are sincere? Do you think Trump is sincere with that, or do you think they are complicit as well?
Yeah. You know, let me tell you, if I become the president of Nigeria, I won't, I'm not interested, but if I am, for Tinubu, I will also build banks here, offshore banks, so that people should bring their money to us so that we can use it to develop. Why should the United States, Britain, should prevent your thieves from bringing their loot to my country? Why should I do that? Because I'm patriotic, I love Nigeria more than Britain, or I love Nigeria more than United States. If I were Trump, I would even open a channel for them to be bringing the money. And when I see that I've got collecting enough money from them because they don't have brain, so I will now go to their country and punish them because their resources, they don't know what to do with it, okay? They keep on stealing among themselves, taking small, small things, taking it to Dubai and behaving like scavengers. Then I will go there and make use of their resources for them. I'm not blaming. I will never blame Trump for doing what he's doing. American interest is paramount to Trump. So why should he pity you if you're a fool and you don't know what to do with your resources and you are fighting over religion? And I see that you are constituting nuisance in the continent. I will come there and teach you a lesson and make sure your brain should work. If possible, you should colonize them. I'm not happy because Nigerians were better than this. I have colleagues that are training in the United States everywhere. Whenever they go there, they beat the Americans to their game. We beat them. I told you I was in Rhode Island. I was in United States Naval War College. They should open their record if I'm telling lies. I beat all the countries that came. Now I'm in Nigeria now. I can't even look at the people that are controlling us. Right? Just look at it. So I'm very, very annoyed. It's not like I'm extremely passionate. Otherwise, I could have remained in the United States and become a naval officer in the United States. I was offered. My Cameroon counterpart that was offered, he took it. I'm saying it for the first time. I was offered. I decided that I will come back to this country to see how we can make this place better. But the system, the politicians, how they do it, I don't know. You see, illiterates, criminals, you see them, they are already senators, they are ministers, they are governors, known criminals. United States have records of some of our governors that were, you know, they have criminals and they are governors. So how do we do it? What kind of country is this? And the people are to be blamed. The people are to be blamed.
You know, there's
all these people to power.
There's something you mentioned when you mentioned the politicians, even during the military era, because Nigeria has been ruled largely by the military. But we still had judges that were gay. Was it Kajo Shaw, and you know, judges who put out judges that were very credible and great, had integrity at the time. So you mentioned the judiciary when you talked about Tinubu should round up and charge to court, but our court system seems to be one that is also not credible or trustworthy. What can you say? Can you speak to that?
You mean to speak to the judiciary?
Yeah, or because
to the military role.
I mean, during the military rule, as much as he was an authoritarian system, we still had judges that were of impeccable character. We have Kayode Eshoh, we had Oputa, we had these judges that were still ruling well. But unfortunately, in the democratic system, since the Fourth Republic, we've seen that the judge, you can't trust the judiciary system. The judiciary itself has not been credible. So when you say before, Tinubu should round these people up, try them, how trustworthy are our judges or the judicial system?
No. If you want to try all these terrorist sponsors, you won't take them through this our court system now. You have to set up a special military tribunal now, or a special court, and take it away from these corrupt judges. You can't, the case will be off for the forever. So if you want to be advised, there's a way they do it, because these are treasonable issues, okay? So don't take them to this kind of court. Understand? You have to set up a special military court or maybe a special tribunal or something, you know, dedicated to trying them, because they politicize it at the courts.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to talk about the whole profession, you know. All of us, we strive to read law. You know, when I was young, it's either you want to be a lawyer or a doctor. Look at what they've turned the judiciary to. I've been a victim now of judicial recklessness and corruption. I've been a victim several times in Nigeria. And it's just a shame. There's nothing you can do about that, except you have to, you know, remove all of them and start again. Or you bring people from outside Nigeria to come and, you know, look at the judiciary for the next maybe 4 years during the term of a president. 4 years, just bring Oyinbos to come and take over that place, you know. It's rotten. It's so rotten that I've taken somebody to court, and I became I have to now start defending myself in the same court. But they collected money from the guy. The lawyer of that guy bribed the judge, bribed everybody, bribed even the DPP, the public prosecutor. And I'm the one hunting somebody who did something wrong to me. And later I became the hunted, you know. I have to pull out from the case.
There's another institution that we've not really, really been critical about. And I'm glad that you and I are both academics. You mentioned the people. You said the people are the problem in terms of voting in these criminals and everything. But you're an academic as well. And we've seen how our educational system has deteriorated over the last years. This academic system that is raising those people that are uncritical. Well, how can you speak to that institution of education in Nigeria and its role?
You see, let me tell you. People don't understand why I'm in the academics. I'm an associate. The academics, you know, maybe breeding the wrong people. The reason I'm in the academics is because I want to make a difference. Before this call, I was in a meeting with my student that resumed today. I told them about issue of character. You understand? I'm building their character. I wish I recorded it. I could have maybe sent you a copy. I just finished addressing them. That's why you see me, I'm a bit stressed up. I've been talking to my students about character, about their education, but character, I told them, is number one. They resumed this morning, and I'm doing a profiling of my students. I'm in the university to make a difference, because I know this is where the problem comes from. You breed all these so-called people, you breed them, and they become your lawyers, your this, and your politicians. It's a problem. It is rotten now. If you go to even secondary school, it's bad. But I've decided to do my own youth service here. I'm a youth copper right now. And I've moved to the university system to make a difference in my own department and in my own little way. I'm a member of so many organizations in the university, and I try to make my own input. Okay? I agree with you that the education system is very bad now. But if some of us can go into the ivory tower and make some input. The National University Commission just left my department last week, and they give us very high score. Well, I'm deliberately here so that I can, you know, make some, that's why I say I'm a youth copper now. I'm trying to see whether I can, you know, transfer some of this knowledge and, you know, general awareness, you know, to the students. That when you go out there, don't behave like all these people they are seeing there. That's the, in fact, I spent 60% of the time building their character. You are right. The question system is bad.
Yeah.
But I'm here and I'm trying my best, you know. My university is allowing me to run my department the way I want, and they are very grateful to for my presence here.
That's good. That is good. There's something else I wanted to talk about. So if we come back to the military stuff, we've seen that Tinubu has reshuffled his cabinet and got new chief of defense staff and all of that. So what some again can see, like the things that usually happen with this stuff, like you rightly said, all these things are politicized. We saw during Buhari, I think about 95% of his appointees were from the north, or something like that. And again, we can also look at the Tinubu's, where we had the INEC is Professor Mopiton, and now Professor Mopiton, I've read somewhere where they're asking him to, they're asking Tinubu to let him go because he's written an open-ed about genocide against Christians in the past. So we've seen also that the song can say Tinubu is it about regime protection by getting the people that you trust, and you can say these people are Yorubas, or you know, what is the situation in Nigeria with people getting credible? It all has just to be politicized and say this is of, you're bringing people of your ethnic group. So is that what we're seeing now? Or are these people really credible, the people Tinubu are replacing these people with?
My dear, you know, the issue of nepotism has become a culture. It's just our way of life now. When Buhari was there, you know, he brought all the Adimajeris from everywhere and put them in government. I'm talking about real Adimajeris. You meet a minister.
Yeah, I went nearly to the White House. I went there during the time. I was surprised. I saw nearly every.
Yeah, you go to a parastatal. You say director general of a parastatal during Buhari time. You can't even speak English. They say you speak either Fufudi or Fulani or Hausa. I mean, this is what we do. It's a state practice. So Buhari did it for 8 years, put all the Adimajeris everywhere. Now, Tinubu has come, removed some of the Adimajeris, and put his own people there too. You know, so people should not complain now. They shouldn't complain. When an Igbo man gets there tomorrow, he should pick all the Ezendigbo and put them in the system. So, if you want to ask me that question, my dear, this is who we are. We are nepotic, you know. It's either religion or people from your village. Yeah. So if what is worse is that sometimes they combine religion and culture, and it looks funny, you know, when you see. I mean, I don't want to mention there's a processor I know now. They have destroyed the place completely because the person they put there has no clue. If I was crying that he doesn't want this parastata. And I have evidence. He's crying that his ambition is to become governor of Borno State. I've mentioned Borno State so that people that are listening to me will know that parastata. That he wants to be governor of Borno State, and that this place they brought him, that there's no money there. Let me tell you, in the past 2 years, he had destroyed that parastata. That he has killed it.
Prof, let me be critical of an institution that you were part of for many years. Yeah. And then maybe you accept a little bit blame for them on their behalf. The military was responsible for centralizing Nigeria, overly centralizing it from Gowon to especially Obasanjo in the 79 and all of that. Because, like Raleigh said, we had a system where that system could have been, government could have been local to the people. So if someone centralizes it where people get into power and they see far away and they just steal money. So the private public resources become private stuff. But again, we can also argue that in the last 20 something years since the Fourth Republic, it's largely been the civilian. But again, the militaries are also involved in it. Some of these are maybe former military rulers like Obasanjo, like Buhari and everything. So what would you say, is there hope? Should we be talking about decentralizing the country? What is the hope?
Yeah. If you have listened to some of the interview I've done in the past, I'm not really, I have no apology to say that this country cannot function the way the British made it. If you want to have progress, the minimum you can do is to decentralize. That's the minimum. Decentralize, you know, break it into like six places, let every region develop, and maybe you have a center. That's the minimum. But the extreme is that let us balkanize the country, and I have no apology for that. Some people will shout out, so that's that. This is my own opinion. Cut it into pieces, you know, maybe whatever, and let all this the Biafra I'm a Yoruba person, but they have a reason to do what they are doing. We don't have enough time. If I want to tell you what the Igbos went through in the military that I served for 35 years, you will not blame them. Okay? I'm from Southwest. I know what I went through in the military when it comes to promotion, appointment, and so on. And I know what other people do. This country is divided already. You have the North, you have the West, and you have the South. It's divided in our hearts, in our mind. Anytime, anybody you see that is talking about, oh, we must be together, is because they are profiting from iniquities. Quote me. I know a lot of Southwest people, Yorubas, that are saying that they must do true federalism. It's because they are benefiting from iniquity. If you're not benefiting from iniquity, I have records. The amount of crude oil we have produced in the past 10 years, can you account for them? The gold you are mining in Ilesha, the one you are mining in Samfara, can you account for them? But you want us to be together so that you can keep on stealing. That's why anybody that is talking about unity, we must be united. It's because they are benefiting from the status quo. And 80 to 90% of Nigerians will tell you no, because they are suffering under this existing arrangement. You cannot assuage the North. They will keep on doing this, their Sharia, until they will destroy the whole place. They don't care. Look at Afghanistan. They will destroy everywhere. And because they die, they go to Allah, and maybe they have 75 wives and whatever their belief is. They don't care. Look at what is happening in Iraq. Look at Syria. Look at Lebanon. And and you know why I feel so bad is that I study Islam, and I know that these are strange religion. They are Arabic kind of religion, and Christianity also is not us. They brought it in, and we are more Catholic now than the Pope. But I did my daughter's wedding. I did it in Dubai for the reasons I did that. Let me tell you, if I live in Dubai, I want to be a Muslim. I will become a Muslim if I live in Dubai or Saudi Arabia. Look at these Nigerians now. They are the ones killing themselves. It's not a pity. We should have pity for them, this elite. They are the one killing, destroying, raping. The people that brought the religion to us, they are not doing what we are doing. I mean, I was in Dubai. You can drink beer. I don't drink anyway. I'm not an alcoholic. But they are liberal. The system is working. The citizens are happy. There's social welfare. And these are core Islamic states. You now come to Kano, you see all these people that call themselves Muslim. You see what they are doing? destroying their country in the name of religion. The people that brought the religion to us are in heaven, they're in Aljana. It's rather they are neurotic. Something is wrong. Because if the owner of the religion is living fine, their citizens are happy. And you brought it to Nigeria, and you now become more Catholic, and you start killing your people. They should send them for psychiatric evaluation. There's a particular guy, they call him one mullah, imam, whatever, he's talking all over social media. That guy should go for psychiatric evaluation. You can't be killing your people in the name of religion. The owners of the religion, Saudi Arabia, go to Iran. They are the Shiites. Saudi, they are the Sunnis. And we have the Sufis. I study Islam. They are living well. They are in Aljana. Now you bring it to Kano, then you be killing people. You say there's Sharia, you be beheading people and cutting their hands. You need to be treated for, you need to do a psychiatric evaluation. You have a mental problem.
I agree with you, and I'll come to the last question. There's a book I'm currently writing where I'm looking at our adoption of liberal democracy, looking at how we adopted some of these external ideologies and then how that can be a hindrance to our progress. But the one I want to ask you lastly is this. Across Africa, we're beginning to see some sort of, I don't know if I call it revolution, among the Gen Zs, among the young people in Africa. We've seen it in Madagascar recently. We've seen Tanzania, we see Cameroon, we've seen all these places. But in some of these places, what's happening is also, after all this protest and everything, the military takes over. So it looks like they're back to, I don't know if we're back to zero. So, and a lot of people have been calling for Nigeria to for that kind of change or revolution to come to Nigeria. So I want you to conclude by looking broadly at what is going on in Africa. Look at how Nigeria fits into that pattern. And if we can ever have a change in Nigeria, can people be united against this elite that we're talking about, regardless of their religion, ethnicity, and see that the common enemy is the Nigerian state that has, and the elites that have captured it?
It's desirable if the youths, you know, can organize themselves. And I can be quoted, okay? It's desirable. If they can organize themselves and chase all these almajiris, all these old men, all these people, if they can get rid of them and organize themselves. I want a Nigerian, sincerely, if that's possible. I want to have a Nigerian, you know, like a Nigerian state, you know, if the youth can make it happen. But I'm not very optimistic. I'm not. I've seen from Oka School up till now, Nigerian citizens they're different. They're not the same like all those other countries you mentioned. We're different. And that's because of the nature of our people, you know. Why people are not complaining is that somehow, they are benefiting from the evil going on too, you know. There's a way the welfare, you know, we have this welfare system as a culture where your cousins, your sisters, you know, you benefit. If you are broke, you can go to them and so on. So our nature does not really allow us to be able to carry out a proper revolution, as you saw in the northern, North Africa, you know, up to Egypt that time. We don't have such population. We are different. So for me, what I'm going to recommend is if we can agree among ourselves that we want like a referendum, you know, everybody should vote whether they still want to be part of this charade that I'm saying. And if they vote, then peacefully we can just let the Igbos, the Biafra, whatever they call themselves, let them be now. Is it by force to belong to a country, you know? And the United Nations is very clear about issue of rebellion and revolution, you understand? So there are ways, processes that we can follow, and we can easily just go apart. If you want to be a Sharia, you want to behead people, why not stay in your north and behead all the people and shoot them for not praying five times? If in the southwest, you don't mind to mix Muslim, Christian, whatever you want, your culture, your tradition, your religion, your ideology is different, then let them stay together as a nation. Then the Southeast should be allowed to stay. The minimum I said is that maybe you can still have a central something to keep them together, at least for a while, until everybody will go their way. It is a wishful thinking to think you can repair this country. The North will not allow it. If you want to do your true federalism, they will not. Because once they do, they'll be out of power, and they cannot distinguish between trade and religion. They came with trade, then they give you religion. They are still doing the same. They take your resources, kill people, take the land, then they bring religion there. So it's trade and religion, mercantilism and religion. And that's why it's very deceptive. People think it's religion. It's not. It's about trade. It's about economy.
I agree with you. Thank you very much, Prof. I know, like, we can go on, carry on all day talking, but I've got to let it go. But I really, really enjoyed our conversation. And
thank you very much. I really appreciate and I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much, sir. Have a great day.
And you too.
Bye. Thank you for tuning in today. I had a special guest, and I can call a friend that I've met before, Commodore retired Kunle Olawunmi, and an academic as well, who has spoken passionately about the situation in Nigeria. Thank you for tuning in, and stay blessed, and I'll see you next week.